Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. We've got a lot we want to cover this morning, so let's begin with a word of prayer to orient to where we are and why we're here. And so let's just join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this assembly. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your use of this humble assembly in so many different ways. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Brian, let's begin with song. Thank you, Brian, Wes. Okay, we have several things this morning. This year's camp, youth camp, was superb. We had people saved and a lot of interest, and we're following up on it weekly in two different homes, in the Wise's home, the Dave's home, and just a lot of things are happening. And we don't see them right here, but let me assure you, things are happening with our young people. Now, the next camp is already, we know the dates, but it's already next, it'll be next year. So we got a whole year. Well, we really don't. Not when you want to finance everything. And people, I want to emphasize that I don't know of any church camp as inexpensive as ours. They range up to $1,000 in Georgia, and $500 in Arizona. They're just very expensive. It takes money to get the children there, feed them, house them, and get all these things going. And I just it's my prayer, and I'm really thankful that Chris Dague, the director, is like-minded with me, and Larry Wise. We want to keep this down so that any child who wants to go, any young person who wants to go, will be able to afford it. But this is going to take a lot of money. And so, in fact, we're even thinking it's probably going to be a lot more there this coming year in 2012 than it was in 2011. So what we try to do is have fun throughout the year in raising the money. Not just come up and say, okay, you got to give today for the young people. Okay, it's time to give money. No, we're going to try to make this where we have some fun in doing it. Last year we had the dinner, how they had the are we going to have the chili cook-off again? Good, I like that one. And this just makes us have a part of all of this and see some of them in operation. Well, one of the first things we're going to do is I'm going to let Leslie talk about this next little thing to help raise money for the camp. And this is fun. So, Leslie, why don't you come up?
Yes. Okay. So, as you guys can see from all the pajamas around, I know the guys don't really care, but you guys know women, they care. So, anyways, we're having a pajama fundraiser, and they're really good pajamas, you guys. I mean, when I first heard three items for $28, I thought, it's not going to be the best quality, but these are really good quality. They're last year's run for like Abercrombie, Donna Karen, Ralph Lauren, yeah, so stuff like that. So you can get three items for $28. We make 40%. So for every set of three items we sell for $28, we make $11.20. And so three items can be a set of pajamas is one item, a top and a bottom, and maybe a robe and some slippers. Or it could be three pair of slippers, or it could be some, flannel pajama bottoms, some woven pajama bottoms, and, some boyfriend shorts for the girls, something like that. So it's any combination of three items. They even have some casual shirts. So there's a whole lot of options. And basically, this flyer is in the back behind the sign. And so that gives you all the details, shows you how to order. There's also an order form back there. Now, the order form is in real time. So what that means is, and I printed those out this morning. So you can look on there to see what's available. Because once an item is out, it's gone. They don't make any more. So it's just for this time period. So you can go on there. You can look around, see what you like on the website, which is pajamafundraiser.com. You can print out the order form, place your order, and on the order form there's a place for a member name. It says player name, but that would be our church member name in this case here at the church. So if Tish talked to her neighbor about it, then they would put Tish's name there so that when we place the order, I know to give that order back to Tish so she can give it to her neighbor. So did I cover everything, Terry, on the order form, Larry?
The only thing is, so those order forms you brought today, if people want to order today off of that form, they can do that.
Yes, they can
don't have to go to the website.
Right, exactly.
That's for
yeah.
Us who are illiterate on ordering on the computer.
Yes.
Thank you. Good.
Our photo proof. Yeah, and then Leslie's phone number and my phone number is on there, so we can walk somebody through it if they have questions.
Yeah, and actually, you know what? I let Terry on the flyer in the back. It does not have our number, but it was in the email that went out to the church, or just talk to us here if you have any questions, you're not sure how to order. Now, there are no refunds or exchanges, so you have to really make sure that you pick what you want and in the right size. There's a fit chart on the website off to the left, and it gives you exactly, different measurements, how the sizes range, things like that. Yes?
If you're ordering online, though, online.
You don't order online. You actually have to fill out the order form that I mentioned earlier and put the payment with it and then give it to Terry or myself. Terry or I will go in and enter the order and pay for it and pick it up. So, yeah, you can't actually order online. You have to print the order form, attach the payment to it. All the payments are made to SPBCYM, and then we will actually place it and get the order back to you. And my goal with this, too, was that hopefully it's not going to be just us. It's going to be you telling maybe your neighbors or your family about it or different people so that maybe it can expand out beyond us a little bit.
And
Can we forward that email?
Yes, the email can go out. The flyer that was on there can go out to your family. I've already sent it to, I sent it to a couple ladies I work with. The one lady, which I don't know if y'all read the email or not that I sent out, but she was so excited. She said, my whole family, even my boys, love these pajamas. And she said, she goes, I'm going to want 12. Well, she ended up ordering like 16 sets. And she bought something for herself. She bought some presents. She bought some Christmas presents. So anyway, so that's my goal. So I'm just sending it out to some different people that I know.
And did you mention that it only runs through November?
Yeah, well, actually the very beginning of December is when it ends. You know, but once they're out of something, they're out. So if you see something that you really like or that you really want to get, you're going to want to order it sooner than that. But, I mean, you can continue to talk about it and tell people about it up through the beginning of December.
And, you know, we brought some of our personal pajamas that we've already ordered in, like, with the row back there. If you want to put it on and just, you know,
yeah, like, yeah, their, yeah, that's why they're all hanging around and the different shirts and... Yeah, Jerry has his boxers back there. He might do a fashion show for you. So anyway, so I think that pretty much covers it. Unless y'all have any other questions or anything, but we can talk about it too after during communion or whatever.
This is for the summer camp.
This is actually for the youth ministry, which will help cover the summer camp. And by doing it through the youth ministry instead of strictly for Liberty Youth Camp, we can pay for youth camp. We can pay for some of the get-togethers, like they're going to Adventure Landing today, and we're covering some of the cost for them to have some pizza and a drink at Adventure Landing. So the youth ministry is going to pick up that additional $3 to $5 for those children to have that. And if there's somebody that just couldn't afford to go, we'll pick that up too. So this is actually for the youth ministry, but it will go, you know, toward the Liberty Youth Camp if we needed to. So it's kind of a dual purpose.
All of this is under the Liberty Youth Camp on the internet?
This is all under the youth ministry, which the Liberty Youth Camp falls under the youth ministry.
The youth
ministry is here.
Where do we go under if we want to look at just follow what's going on in the internet?
Really, the only site we have is the libertyyouthcamp.com. So if they want to follow it, and also for your friends on these flyers, I put the church website and I put the Liberty Youth Camp website on here. Because I know when I give to something, or, you know, I want to kind of just see what they think. If they're, you know, if I don't agree with what they think, if they believe it's by works or something, then, you know, I may get it, I may not. But that gives me that option to know. So that way, if you're talking to somebody and you hand them the flyer and they go in, they go, well, what do these people believe? What is it? You know, may generate some interest also. So, anyway. That help?
Any questions? All right. And just remember, this is young people. And it's just, it subsidizes rather than just taking up an offering every now and then for the youth camp. And I'm looking forward to see what other good ideas that they have. But I'm ready to, I got five younger grandchildren. Their Christmas is taken care of. Yes, sir.
On that note, next week after church, so to your question, Don, and then a lot of people's questions, I've got a presentation after church for next week that will cover... What is Spring Valley Ministries' agenda? What are we looking to do so that you all can approve that and say, yes, we want to support this, or no, we don't, or we can have a conversation. So
good.
The whole thing is open to cut off your
next Sunday after. Next Sunday after class. They were applauding you.
That will also include, so you guys can have a clear understanding of where does Liberty fall under Spring Valley Youth Ministries, Liberty Youth Camp, the other camps that we want to do.
Good.
As well as what the finances look like to do all this stuff.
Okay. Now, have y'all worked out the dates for the winter camp?
Yes, it's the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th of February.
February, okay. Good.
Are you going to have a printout on this?
I will have printouts. So you can, I'll probably just print out some of the key slides. 20 slides, so print out three or four of the key ones so you can have it.
For the year, kind of?
Yep.
Year
yes, sir.
You know, people, we faithfully pray for the Risley family, each of the members, and for the ministry. And once in a while, we'll pray for Tucson Bible Church, and who have done so much. But we're really blessed this morning because you get down to the workers, the troops who go out into the battlefield. And we have such one, and John here from from Tucson Bible Church. Now, John and Larry, primarily you and Larry, what they do is they'll take the literature that's printed by other people at the church, and they will drive it down to Mexico, into Mexico, and distribute it in the northern part of Mexico, and then come back, which is dangerous. And he gave a little report. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about when will y'all be driving up down there again with some more?
Probably toward the end of this month, depending when I can get back to Tucson, because I'm not sure how long I'll be down here.
Okay.
But then it's usually just a day trip into Mexico. We go in early in the morning and we get back mid-afternoon toward late afternoon.
Okay.
As long as we don't have any problems crossing the border.
Now, you were telling us in the first class about it's getting difficult on both sides.
Americans are checking for ammo and money going into Mexico, and the Mexicans are checking for ammo and money coming into Mexico. So they have dogs that sniff for ammo and dogs that sniff for money and guns, and they inspect it both ways, going in and going out of the United States into Mexico and then coming back, then just the Americans check to make sure we're not bringing contraband
okay.
back in.
Okay. Mexicans don't care what you take back out.
But luckily, where we go in is a small town in Naco, which is right on the border there. And the pastor at one of the churches there in Naco is very familiar with the town, and he feeds all of the kids that goes to school in the mornings, gives them breakfast. We take food down to him too, but they have about 75 to 80 kids that they feed breakfast every morning at school before they break in school, and then they come over to his church and eat and then go back.
John, so far as you know, is he pretty much like-minded with us on the gospel?
He is. Well, he is, but, you still got the Mexican personality down there.
Okay.
But he is pretty much faith and grace, and so we do that, and then of course that helps us cross the border because the guards know who he is. So if we tell the guards that we're bringing the Bibles and bringing the printed material, they don't really care about. The Bibles is a cost factor that they look at getting taxes for the Bibles coming in. But they allow the Bibles to come in across the border there because they know it's going to that church, even though all of it doesn't go to the church.
No,
we take it down.
Yeah, he distributes it.
Down. But and then they're very particular on food and clothing. They don't want you to bring food and clothing in. But at the same given time, since it's going to this church, they allow it to come across the border. So
okay.
We have a good working personality with that pastor there that helps us. Trini helps us out quite well. And if there's any problem, Trini, we call him Trini. I can't remember what his name is, but Trinidad something. And anyway, we call him Trini. But he will actually meet us at the border if we have any large stuff we're bringing across.
Very good.
Talk to the guards.
Now, where does the money, when you do help him for the food and all, just those kind of expenses, does that just come out of y'all's pocket or out of Tucson Bible?
It comes out of our Tucson Bible Church.
Okay.
And our own
pockets
too,
okay.
What we want to do.
Yeah.
We go down and buy, sometimes we'll go down to the bean company there and buy, well, last time we went down, we bought six 50-pound bags of beans, and we take it down. We've got four stops in northern Mexico that we stop to, and usually the people, those are just secular people there that actually take the lessons, and then they hold classes in their own house.
Beautiful.
For the people, because the Risleys have moved farther south
inland,
of Mexico.
Yeah.
So, and they wait for those lessons to come down, and they're very happy to get them, and then we drop food off to the houses too, so it helps out a little bit.
But how many lessons per trip do you take?
About 1,000. And we just distribute them between the four different stops, depending on, it varies as to how many people. We have one one stop that we only drop 25 lessons to, but it's a small little community, and Zapata, and there's a little lady there that holds the lesson. She's 86 or 87, and we give her the lessons, and she is really, we give her a lot of food too, because she doesn't have much food there at all. And
she gets upset if y'all are late or miss a day or something. I love her.
And so anyway, she distributes them. And then we have places that we give over a couple, sometimes 300-400 lessons to different locations because they have various people.
Who does the printing of the lessons?
Well, hopefully I don't have to. I do sometimes when they have problems. But we have a couple, Judd and Barbara, and they do most all the printing. Now, the lessons are developed by Pat Risley.
Yes.
And Pat develops the lessons and then puts them on a CD for us. And then they'll take them up to us whenever they have a new CD. And then we print from that. So we usually have enough lessons on the CD to keep us busy for close to a year.
Now, do the lessons eventually, some of them make their way down to inland Mexico where the Risleys are?
No, they do their own thing down there.
Oh, they do their own printing in their area. Okay,
for,
all right.
For that farther on down, so because they're going to, because they're on a different plane of education down there, because they're usually at the beginning stages, where we are now at the ending stages.
Yeah.
So it's a different type of lessons that go to the various.
And they anticipate these lessons and really study them.
Surprising, we go down there and we see the poverty, and we complain because we don't have this or don't have that, and then we see what they live in, and they no complaints at all, but they're interested in Jesus and they're interested in the lessons, and they just, and the Bible. So we got to have Bibles, you know, and we have one person that takes the Bibles to the prison. One of the prisons, and then the other person takes the Bibles elsewhere. So we do a Bible fund there at the church to get enough money to buy Bibles to take down. So
just a lot that goes on for that ministry. And people are talking about, and I'm not belittling or ridiculing, but Mexicans who just have no education. We're talking even adults. They live in this little town. It's just too far to a larger city where they do have education. They have no buses and everything like we do here. And kids just grow up with no education. And I would say almost every one of them, the only books they have in their home are ones that they've gotten from y'all's ministry.
Oh, yes.
The Bibles and the pamphlets.
Bible, That's, you know, these are all small towns, and they're all Catholic down there. But they never have a priest around.
Yeah.
Never have church services. Some places, few places, have churches that the women keep up every week, but nobody ever goes there because the priest doesn't come up to have the service.
And in one place, the Risleys are allowed to go in into a Catholic church and teach.
Oh,
where
yeah.
A lady cleans it and lets them come in and teach.
But they're open to the Word of God, and they're open to the Bible, and again, that's one thing that the Catholic Church doesn't teach is the Bible, per se.
If you didn't have TV, and you didn't have a lot of places to go, you'd just spend your time reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of that kind of problem. That
the printing that we do has got a lot of color in it and a lot of pictures that the Risleys have developed. And they found that's what holds their attention. If you try printing it in black and white and so forth,
it
loses the people's attention. But with the pictures in color and the printing in color, and there are actual lessons that they have to look through the Bible and come back and check. And one thing, just not to hold up time here.
No, please!
But Risley says that the people, if they're going to a Bible and they say, well, we're going to say Romans, and it's 1101. It starts at page 1101. They start the Bible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is their personality where they're teaching, you know. they can't just kind of open the Bible and try to find that, and they just go through the pages one at a time until they get to the right page. But
so here's his call the day before. We're going to be on page 1103.
They welcome the Risleys, and they welcome us, and it's just surprising how they can live in what they live in, and still they know the Word of God.
That's so powerful.
And they're happy with that.
How many people in America live in semi-luxury and don't know the Word of God, not even the Gospel? Wow. Well, thank you, John. And that is just super. Now let's talk about some prayer. And Thomas is here with us again. Boy, you're just getting to be a regular member here. Regular attendee. So how's Thomas doing? And he said, good, all right. That's going to be the extent of it, huh? Oh. See, that's the way people wish the preacher would be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Bye. So, well, Thomas, we're just so happy for your weekly improvement. And Terry told me yesterday, the blood platelets are all stable, good. And what we want to be in prayer for is continual health and yes.
Well, and there is one little issue. His creatine count was off last week, just for your kidney function, but it's due to his medication. So they had to have him stop the medication that was on Wednesday to Friday.
Uh-huh. So they're just trying to work out the drug, everything, take this away, add this. That's got to be our prayer for the continual advancement and health. That's great.
Almost got the steroid. Next Wednesday they'll start taking it one day on, one day off, a minimal dose. But that'll probably be a week or two of that, and then he'll be done with the steroids.
Now, just for your information, I asked Thomas if next Sunday, just come up and give us a report. We've been in prayer for him. And it wasn't reluctant, but it was very hesitant, yes. It wasn't reluctant, but it was a hesitant. But he has agreed, so next Sunday, Thomas will come up and give us a couple of words. Yes, John.
I just want to inform him that our prayer group keeps Thomas in prayer every Tuesday night.
They have a great prayer meeting at Tucson Bible Church on Tuesday night, and a very effective, very unusual type of prayer meeting. I mean, people are right in the middle of their praying. Somebody will laugh or say something. And I remember one time, John told me, somebody prayed and someone else really unloaded something. And the other guy, I take back my prayer request. It just doesn't line up with what is really important here. And just a wonderful family type of prayer time together. So, thank you very much. Tish, how are you doing?
Good.
Have you gotten any more report back about
Wednesday?
Well, we'll be in prayer in regard to that. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, Cameron.
I met my friend Jackson
yesterday,
and we need to be he just became a Christian over the summer.
Oh. We're going to study the difference between lead and guide this morning. That's what we're in prayer in regard to that. So we'll have more to say in that respect. Any other prayer requests or issues or things? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. Now, one of the things in our 9:15 class, we saw how God is well pleased to save those who are by faith, but the foolishness of the gospel, not by the wisdom of man. And we noted how God was well pleased. It's kind of an unusual statement. Just so you can, if you want to animate God, He's up there going, yeah, I like that. Now, I understand that carpenters and people that work in the yard, when they do something, I like that. That's good. That turned out really good. They don't get too happy when it didn't turn out too good. But the yard turned out better than I thought. We're well pleased with it. And I can just see God say, man, I'm well pleased with this gospel plan. It doesn't depend on man at all, and yet it gets them saved and gives glory to my Son. Man, it's a great idea. It's a great plan, great gospel. Then that same word is used for us giving. Ought to be well pleased. Ought to be well pleased to give, not reluctantly. In fact, even though Jim Passmore's here, if you do it reluctantly, I'm just going to don't give. If you don't want to be a part of the spreading of the gospel to unbelievers and believers, young people, missionaries, what this church is doing, keep your money. You're going to be well pleased, the Bible says, in giving to support these things. And so this has to be the attitude and for your enrichment in this. So Jim would probably want me to say, go ahead and give, whether you're well pleased about it or not. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to serve You, to be a witness of Jesus Christ, especially in this time in the history of the world. The Bible is so attacked, Heavenly Father, and we know it. It's not complete. It's not sufficient. We need to add human thoughts, human psychology, human viewpoint, human ways of doing things. It's not complete. We need new things that God gives us, such attacks, which finally, Father, drip down to the gospel itself, the distortion of the gospel. And so, Heavenly Father, it is our privilege to be a witness of Christ, to be guided by the Word, guided by Your Spirit. And Father, we pray now that You'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that You will continue to use them to bless this assembly in the spreading of the truth as the Spirit leads us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. For the sake of time, we'll forget the second song because we have a special music today. And so let's get into our study. What we're going to do is we're going to take the Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. People, I don't know of any area that's more, people like application and something pertinent, not just theology, than Romans 5, 3 through 5. This is where we live. And so what we're going to do, we're going to close that section of Scripture, Romans 5, 3 through 5, with looking at a psalm that explicitly goes through some things that we're studying in the Romans 5. It's very important. Now, I had the idea and the determination when I went into this that we would do this psalm in one Sunday, to put it together, make a nice package, say amen, and then move on. Well, it's going to have to be at least two. It deserves four and five, one for each section of the psalm. It's not that long of a psalm. But there's just so much from the Romans 5. And that's what I hope you'll see. My objective is that you will appreciate the psalm, but appreciate it from the study of the Romans 5. So, in order that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to these things, let's go into prayer and testing yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. It is sufficient for all of our needs, and it is complete for our understanding. But Father, in the flesh we cannot understand this. We must see it through the eyes and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Now, what we're going to do is I've got it on the overhead here. We're going to go through the Romans 5. And I've just gotten a new laptop, and I haven't learned some of the new things. So I'm not able to yet. I should be able to learn how to put in each little section as I talk about it. But at least we can do the slides and have this much done. So this is Romans 5, verse 3. And not only this, that is, exalting in the joy of the hope of the glory of God, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation, and then we've studied it, plus the filling of the Spirit and pertinent doctrine related to it, brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven faith. And proven faith, hope in His love. And hope in His love does not disappoint, does not make ashamed, because the love of God for you has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus Christ warns us, prophesies, tells us, whatever word fits your understanding, that all through your life, you're going to have tribulation after tribulation, challenge after challenge, suffering after suffering, sorrow after sorrow, problem after problem, difficulty after difficulty, setbacks after setbacks, adversity after adversity, trial after trial, heartbreak after heartbreak. All of that's from the Bible. You're going to have it. You can't get away from it. You just get through one and here comes another one. Sometimes it's sin-related. Sometimes it's not sin-related. Sometimes it's people that we're involved with related. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the flesh. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just things totally out of our control. But people, we're going to have the tribulations, the challenges, the sufferings, the sorrows. All of these things we're going to have. And we're going to have these things throughout our life. All through your life. Now, some people try different little schemes not to have these things. I love to talk, and I know I've maybe overdone it, but I love Paul. Paul did not get married. Paul was not in a business. He just eliminated everything from his life. And God said, oh yeah? Watch! I'm going to put a thorn in your flesh. And it's going to zap you every now and then. And not only that, guess what? A lot of people are going to hate you and try to kill you. So there. People, you're not going to avoid it. It's there. If you're going to live on earth as a human being, they're going to happen. Now, here's the problem. The issue is not these things. The issue is not the tribulation, the suffering, the adversities, difficulties, the setbacks that you go through life. The issue is how you handle them. How you handle them. And I want this on a PowerPoint presentation just to make it firm in your soul. And that is, people, that unbelievers, atheists, make it through all of these tribulations. I like every now and then I hear a Christian, I couldn't have made it without the Lord. Yes, you could have. And you would have. You'd have made it. You'd have made it. Atheists make it. Unbelievers make it. Every day. Terry and Rick Thomas met unbelievers in the hospital fighting leukemia. How many people do we know that are unbelievers have gone through or are going through financial trouble, marital problems, on and on and on. All these difficulties, setbacks, hurts, disappointments, loneliness in life. And they make it. They make it. They make it through it. But people, making it is not the issue. The Romans 5:5 study we've done, making it through the tribulation is not the issue. They cannot honor and praise God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit in their making it. They do not give Him the glory. Making it through these tribulations, and tribulations is our buzzword from the Romans 5:5 for all of these things that happen in life. The setbacks, the difficulties, the sufferings, the crisis, the loneliness, the heartaches, all of these things. We're just going to primarily use the word tribulation since that's our word in Romans 5:5. And so people, what I want you to understand, making it through the tribulations, while we think that is when we're right in it, but we want to advance your thinking, that's not the issue, making it through. Well, I made it through that. That's not the issue. Making it through is not the issue. If all you want to do is make it, let me just assure you, you'll make it. You will make it. Most people have resilience and just somehow they make it and come out on the other side. Some of them stronger. Some of them healthier. Some of them wealthier. All these things. That's not the point of adversity and crisis that we experience through our lives. And keeping it personal in our level. It's not just about getting Thomas to where he is today. There are unbelievers who will do that. That's not the objective, people. There are inspiring books and movies about people who make it through without glorifying God. Without glorifying God through Jesus Christ. People, it's not just praising God and using God's name. It's praising Him through Jesus Christ. There's some wonderful movies out, and I'm going to talk about them where it may sound like I don't. I'm glad these movies are being made today. They're so much better than almost anything else that's out there. But Utopia, a Dolphin's Tale. Oh, that boy, if you go see A Dolphin's Tale, take some handkerchiefs. It is an unbelievable movie, people, and it's based on a true story. See? And it's about the determination of these people. And in their own personal thing, the dolphin is simply the main plot, but you'll see all the way around different things that are happening. And the determination of the people. Morgan Freeman plays a great doctor. Just donates his time. People donate their money. They just want to get in there and help man helping man. That sounds so good. Man helping man. You can get there. I love movies like The Karate Kid. I mean, he's down on the mat in real life. Ain't no way he's getting up. But in that movie, he gets up and he wins the contest. See? People, it's not about making it and winning and all these things. You make it. We've got to understand why we're here. What our objective is and why God has left us here. See? It's not about hope in self, confidence in self. I can do this. In one of the movies, the girl prayed to her mother. Not to God, not even to Christ, just to her mother. Just, you know, have that insight. I can do this. And people, I'm not knocking these movies in the sense of, boy, I love good G movies. That's why I still love the old black and white movies. The Cary Grants and Bob Hopes and things like that. Great movies. And the old Sherlock Holmes. And all these kind of things. But people, we're Christians. We are designated. And we have tribulations that come into our life for a specific purpose. And not here to praise man. Why are you here on earth? Especially after believing in Jesus Christ. To show what you have? To show what you can do? For man, helping man? Let's all get together behind this. And boy, we'll make it happen. And I'm here talking as looking at the Bible. I sat and loved the movie, Dolphin's Tale. And I got, it was just a great movie. But people, is that what we're here for? Are these things where we want to put our money? Put our life? Or are we here to glorify God through Jesus Christ? In the power of His Spirit. Got to have all three. Got to have all three. So when adversity and tribulation comes, what do you do with it? Now, most people try to get into control. I want to be in control and stay in control. And they think that being in control, they can at least minimize the tribulations. People, control is an illusion. And when you finally realize nothing you can do about it, nothing you can do about death, nothing you can do about this or that, you realize, I'm not in control. Once they realize they cannot be in control, then other things come up. There are various types of schemes and philosophies that people use. Don't get involved too involved with people. Build a wall. Go ahead and get married and have to, but build a wall. That'll minimize the inner hurt. Try to get rich. Buy your way through life. And if these things don't do it, go to alcohol. Go to drugs. Just avoid life. Most just find some ways of handling stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, in their life. With all of these things we're talking about. See? They cannot be in control. Now, once those who see that God is in control and they cannot fight God, they simply give up on their own abilities and start trusting Him. And He gets the glory. Learning all they can about God and what God desires. And so, we look at Romans 5:5. Tribulation cannot be avoided. Knowing. People, you've got to know the Scriptures. I haven't emphasized that enough, but you've got to know pertinent doctrine of related to these tribulations and the filling of the Spirit so they can act in their lives in learning how to be filled with the Spirit, learning how the Spirit leads and guides and teaches. Then they move to perseverance. Now, why is this important? Sometimes Christians will give it to God, depending on circumstances, 5 minutes, 5 days, they take it back. Stress, anxiety, and depression start setting in. Perseverance. You make up your mind, and then you persevere. They don't give up. And that leads to a proven faith, which is what God is looking for, which takes them to hope in God's love. And you're trusting in God's love. And therefore, they place their hope in God's love. Now, I want to close our study on Romans 5 3 through 5 by looking at a powerful psalm. So if you're turning your Bibles to Psalm 31, Psalms 31, we learn something most valuable in the time of tribulation, of suffering, adversity. And the first thing I'm going to show you, remember what we're dealing with. We're dealing when you have little problems, big problems, the leading to big problems, whatever it may be. Got a young man who's fighting a rare blood cancer and leukemia. Got one of our members fighting cancer, other members fighting. We're all, there's a person in this room. In fact, if there's a person here who does not have one single problem, please raise your hand. I really want to talk with you. See? We all have them. This is what I'm here to teach. This isn't deep theology in the sense of eschatology, the future, ecclesiology, church government. This is where you and I live every day. And the first thing I want you to know, the first thing I want you to see, the most valuable lesson in time of adversity or tribulation. This psalmist decides where he will turn in tribulation. And the question's going to hit you, where are you going to turn? To self? To self-strength, self-determination? To others? Are you just going to try to run from it? Where are you going to turn in tribulation? David has already decided where he's going to turn, and he's going to turn to the Lord. David turns to Jehovah, Yahweh if you please, Jehovah, in time of his need. Verses 1 and 2. So let's know something right off from our study in Romans 5:5, Psalm 31, 1 and 2. A for the choir director, that's part of inspired scripture, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. I have taken refuge. So the first thing you want to do, people, in time of a disaster, immediately decide where you're going to turn for help, for courage, for peace, for safety, for solutions. It's the first thing you want to do when adversity comes in. I don't care what kind it is. Addictions, financial, sickness, health, marriage, work, life, age. I used to didn't talk about age too much days gone by, but now I've learned a lot about it. It's not all that fun. Where are you going to turn? You're going to live on Botoxes and getting tucks and pulls and everything, trying to fight it? Where are you going to turn when a disaster, suffering, a crisis comes? It is going to be to God, for David, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Scriptures. And people, I said, well, I wish they would come up point by point, but I cannot stress it enough how important this first decision is in tribulations. Are you going to handle them? Are you going to turn them over to the Lord and go to Him? That's the first thing you have to decide. What we most do is, I've got this problem, how can I solve it? Nope. I got this problem, where am I going to go for leading? Where am I going to go for courage? Where am I going to go for peace? Where am I going to go for wisdom? Where am I going to go to be leaded and guided through all of these various crises that I have? So I simply cannot stress this important point. Are you going to handle this, or are you going to turn it over to the Lord? People, angels are watching every one of you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning here, angels are watching you. Other people are watching you. God is, as it were, watching you. You're being watched. It's a spiritual warfare. Okay, in thee, O Lord. He starts out with the reason God will answer his prayer and the reason he goes to God in prayer. O Lord, look at verse 5. O Lord, God of truth. Look at verse 6. I trust in the Lord. Look at verse 14. I trust in Thee, O God. Thou art my God. Now, people, this is a relationship between David and the Lord. This is a relationship you and I can have and should have with Him. All right. I have taken refuge. I like the King James here. I put my trust. I don't know what's going on. Oh, okay. Julie's exempt. Okay. Now, I've taken refuge. The King James, I put my trust. Remember from our Romans 5, proven what? Proven faith. And we spent enough time on verses looking at that. It's not proven character. That doesn't come up anywhere in the Bible. It's proven faith. And he says, I put my... Where are you going to go? Put your trust in your faith. You're going to trust him, ourselves, or others, or just fall apart. That's what a lot of people do. They just fall apart. How many TV programs are there now about murder? I mean, just people killing. That's when you just say, I'm going to take control, and the best way I can solve this problem is eliminate it. You're gone. Husband, wife, friend, boss, whatever. That's an extreme. Most of us don't do that. At least not openly. We may murder them in our soul. So what are you going to do with your problem? Where are you going to go? Now, the second sequence... The second word in the sequence of Romans 5 was what? Perseverance. Tribulation leads to perseverance. Some believers do decide to turn it over to the Lord, and then they take it back. And what happens? That sets in fear, especially as it wears with time and pressure, discouragement, disillusionment, frantic search. Gotta try this, gotta try that. The Hebrew word here means to take refuge. It's used for faith. You want a refuge when you die? Well, it's a beautiful proverb. Proverbs chapter 14. But the righteous has a refuge when he dies. People, there's nothing. There's not a problem God hasn't already solved for you. We just got to know to take refuge in him. Now, also in Psalm 31:1, first David, believer, makes up his mind where he will turn for refuge, where he will put his trust. But note something else related to Romans 5:5. Let me never be ashamed. Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not shame. Hope in the love of the Lord does not shame. Here he talks about, let me not be ashamed now. I'm trusting you, let me not. Now here David prays for what he knows God will do. We saw this in the prayer pattern of Jesus Christ in a study on Wednesday night, John 17, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord prays for what God has already promised. Glorify thy Son. The Lord's already, God's already told him he's going to do that. He prays for what's already there. That's what he prays for. David prays for what God has already promised and already declared he would do. Oh, let's take a look at that phrase. Let me never be ashamed. You put your hope, you put your faith, you put your refuge in anything that does not glorify God. Listen to me. You will be put to shame. And repeat that now. You put your hope, your refuge, your trust in anything that does not glorify God. You will be put to shame. You might make it through the crisis. That's not what I'm saying. You will be ashamed for not trusting Him. You're a Christian, people. You're a new spiritual creation. You're supposed to live like it. See, it's not about making it through the issue. It's not about making it through the tribulation. I made it through this. I had to pull some strings. I had to do this. I didn't do anything wrong. I did all this stuff. I made it. I give glory to Him. There's the shame. So please pay attention here. Ever see believers put their trust and their hope, their refuge in themselves, and make it? A lot of unbelievers make it better than Christians. Christians are always crying and bellyaching to God. Unbelievers don't have that, so they just make it. It's not a matter of making it. Where's their shame? They made it. What do you mean shame? I hope I can communicate the intensity of this psalm to you. The shame is that I did not make it glorifying God. Jesus Christ. That's my shame. I'm glad I made it, but I'm ashamed that it was not in a manner to glorify my God and Savior. There's the shame, people. This is why you have to get in your mindset. It's not making it through that's the issue. It is making it through in such a way that glorifies God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and we'll add to this the power of the Word of God. That's what the issue is about. It's what the crisis is about, people. It's what every day when we face these things, little bitty ones, big ones. If you learn how to do it in the little ones, you learn how to big it and do it in the big ones. Make a big deal. Abraham offered up his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. People, that was a piece of cake. He had already fought battle after battle after battle after battle and seen God deliver. And he trusted and he trusted and he trusted. Didn't have to understand what was going on. That's how you live in these little battles, little problems, adversities, crisis, tribulations, setbacks, heartaches, hurts. Do you handle them in such a way that glorifies God? The point I don't want you to miss here is that the shame is not that He will not make it. The shame is that God will not be glorified. That's the shame. Taking it to an extreme. I stole the money to pay the bill. I'm out of the problem with the IRS. I'm out of the problem with the people I owe the money to. At least I'm out of that. Look at the shame. It wasn't in God's way. It wasn't in a manner that glorified Him. Oh, you're out of it. But not in a manner that glorified Him. So, we got these different things that we want to be sure, I want to be sure you understand as we read this beautiful psalm. Now, the third part of verse 1 is that the essence of God that is glorified. First part, He decides, I want you to just be able to understand this psalm so that in time of tribulation, if you can have this psalm to turn to. First part, He decides where He returned, to the Lord. The second part, He prays that he not be ashamed. God will be glorified. And in the third part, he shows he knows God. In thy righteousness, deliver me. Deliver me, not remove me. Deliver me through it, not remove it. Deliver me through this crisis, through this disaster. Not remove me from it, not remove it from me. But deliver me through it in such a way that glorifies you. Now let's look at verse 2. He is most clear on his calling to God in his prayer petition. I just want you to know, I wasn't able to get this whole psalm in one lesson, but just this verse 2. Let me show you how much we could spend a lot of time on, but we won't. 1. Incline thine ear to me. 2. Rescue me. 3. Quickly. 4. Be thou to me a rock of strength. 5. A stronghold to deliver me. People, this is a powerful, powerful prayer in time of the tribulations of the Romans 5 study. And everywhere else we study these things. Now, this is the kind of prayer that you have when you have knowledge of Him and a friendship with God, with Christ. And you get this by growing in His Word. He knows Him. This is the way you talk to a friend. You talk to somebody, a banker or something, I need this loan and I kind of need it quickly. Well, how quickly? Well, today will be fine. Well, I'm sorry, it's going to take 3 weeks. Ah! See? This is a prayer between friends. I need your help and I need it now. And he's not afraid to say it. He's made his request very clear here. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be thou to me a rock of strength and a stronghold to deliver me. He calls on God as one calls on a friend. Listen to me. Can we talk? Do you have a few minutes to talk? This is what we do with friends. And then rescue me. And do it quickly. I'm sinking. I can only imagine seeing Peter walking on water, and then he starts to drown. Hey, quickly! I'm going to drown here! Quickly. You alone are God. You alone can do this. You know my trouble. You know what's going on inside me. And people, as we go through this prayer and dealing with tribulation, he's not really going to talk that much about what's going on outside. He's talking about what's going on inside. This is where the tribulation's a test in the inside of us. Stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry. It's how they affect the inside of us. It's going to be the issue in his prayer. And you alone are God. You alone know my trouble inside of me. Others may see my trouble. But I'm going to tell you something, people. You never see what's going on inside of people. You never see the inside of their soul. I often tell people, I am so thankful I'm a pastor. I deal with people whose lives and souls may look like it's been in a horrible car wreck. But I don't have to look at that bloody mess. I don't have to look at the twisted bones and the broken body and all of that. They're usually dressed kind of nicely, and we sit and talk, nicely to each other. God knows. God knows the hurt. He knows the fear. He knows everything that's going inside of this the psalmist. I have no temporal defense. I have no place of safety. I've looked around. I have no place of safety. You, God, are my castle. You, God, are my stronghold. You're my rock of security. Nowhere else am I secure. Nowhere else am I as safe as I am in you. People, this is powerful when you're going through tribulation. This is powerful. So, the first part of his prayer, he determines where he will turn in tribulation. He will come to the Lord, verses 1 and 2. Now, in the second part, he speaks of his confidence, verses 3 through 8. Speaks of his confidence. He confidently commits his life into the hands of Jehovah, his rock and stability. Now, just so you can get the flow of it, let's read 3 through 8 of Psalm 31. 3 through 8. And you see how quickly we've gone through 1 and 2? I mean, really, there's so much here. We could spend a long time on verses 1 and 2. I'm just trying to give you a grip in relating Romans 5, 3 and 5, 3 through 5, with tribulation and how this psalmist handles it. Now let's just look 3 through 8, where he talks about his confidence. This is what going to the Lord does. For thou art my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. Thou will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For thou art my strength, and to thy hand I commit my spirit. You ever heard that before? That's what Jesus Christ said on the cross. Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols. That's running to other answers, other solutions. But I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in thy love, because thou hast seen my affliction inside and has known the troubles. Look where the troubles are. In my soul. Not his life. That I'm in this tribulation is not the point, Father. It's how it's affecting my soul. It's affecting my heart. It's affecting my whole structure. That's an issue that I come to you for. And finally, verse 8, and thou hast not given me over to the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large place. So, the second part here, he talks about his confidence and why he's confident. A confidence that anticipates God's answering. Now, first, he is confident that Jehovah will deliver him because he has faith in him for that protection. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 now. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Foundation of his life and is the fortress of God. My fortress, the rock is the foundation. Standing on that rock. The fortress protects him from the enemy. That's the fortress. It protects something that's around you. People, this is the way he knows God. I hope you know him this way. I hope you can pray this kind of prayer and believe it and know, you're my rock. You're the solid ground my life's built on. You're my fortress. You're going to be the protection. Not people. He's asking God to reveal himself experientially to be what he knows by faith God to be. Now, let's take up a little warning. Do not allow trouble, tribulations, sufferings, loneliness, heartache, financial crisis, illness, and so on, to darken your consciousness of your relationship with God. So often people are overwhelmed by the tribulations that it darkens their relationship with God. It darkens who He is, what He's done for you. It just overshadows your whole relationship. This is one of the most difficult tasks or challenges when we're in the midst of tribulation, especially if they linger on. You can let them darken, shadow out your relationship with God. This is one of the greatest challenges you have when you're going through constant tribulations, constant sufferings. Now, the basis of his confidence is hope, constantly aware of his relationship with the Lord. For thy name's sake, thou wilt lead me and guide me. Okay, this is the great issue now. Two things you want to be sure to know when you pray in regard to tribulation. Two things you want to know. The first thing you want to know about divine guidance in time of tribulation is that God guides and leads for His glory, not yours. He leads and He guides for His glory. Don't look at His leading and guiding to just get you out of the tribulation. That may not happen. There's no prosperity gospel in the Bible. That may not happen. So the first thing, if you turn to Him, you better know this. He's going to lead and guide as per His glory in a way that will bring Him glory. Therefore, whenever He leads you, you must know and believe it is for His glory. Secondly, He knows that God answers this prayer is not because of His words, but only in God's righteousness and for His own glory, God's glory. And on that basis, He comes to God with His petition. Is that going to be enough for you? And you're in tribulation? I come to you. You're my rock. You're my foundation. You're my safety. And you're going to do this. Whatever you do here, it's going to be for your glory. And you know what? I will not be ashamed then. If you're glorified through whatever you do here, you will be glorified. And I will not be ashamed. This is not just talking about. Not just talking about. Making it through the crisis. It's what we do with it that's the issue here. I wanted to get through the two words lead and guide. I'm just so proud of what we're going to be doing. but I don't want to cram it in 1 minute. I couldn't anyway. So we'll pick it up here next Sunday. And yes, I will try to finish the whole psalm in that time frame. But I hope that you're just understanding some things that affect our daily life, people. This is not theology proper. This is not eschatology and all these other things, not the Old Testament history. This is where you and I live every day of our lives. Tribulations, challenges, sufferings, adversities, setbacks, disappointments. And how are we going to handle them? How are we going to not be ashamed in them? Well, all of this has to do with understanding your relationship with God. Okay, it's time now for us to move into the communion. And we have a special to introduce the communion. And Mr. James Webb and Wes Tuttle.
We stand before the table of thy loving sacrifice. Our debt of sin demanded payment. Then you came and paid the price. Now as we break this bread together, as we see your sacrifice, and we drink this cup together, we know your love has paid the price. Thank you, Lord, you have provided. Your provision is complete. And by faith, your grace accepted. At Calvary's cross, we are complete. Dear Lord, as we remember your provision freely given, we can walk within your promise. Now with victory over sin, we praise you, Lord, for mighty victory. Thank you, Lord, your grace abounds as your love provides us power. Forever let our praise resound. Thank you, Lord, for you have provision. Your provision is complete. And by faith your grace accepted. At Calvary's cross we are complete.
The words and the music written by James Webb. The communion service, made up of two parts, as you know, the bread and the cup. The bread speaks literally of our salvation won, our eternal life salvation in Jesus Christ. Speaks of how God made a choice as God, not to think that being God was something to be grasped, and let all the creatures of his creation spend eternity separated from him. But he lowered himself, came down on earth in the form of man, took our place as our servant, and died the suffering death of the cross. This is what the cup, or the bread, represents. And the large table, the Eucharist, the communion, different names, is celebrated. There is no law, no rigid laws related to it. Doesn't say you will do this every time you meet. It doesn't say you will do this once a week. It doesn't say you will do this once a month, once a year. Just you do it. Doesn't have rules on who can serve it. And see, this is the grace of God. You go through church history. Go through church history. Read the book. See the movie, The Hiding Place. Women in prison. Oh, well, we can't ever have communion in here inside these walls because we don't have a man to serve it. We don't have a preacher to serve it. No. No kind of rules like that. God is very gracious to the 2,000 plus years of the church not to restrain us like that. Now, when the nation was together, you could have the Passover, the feast, the sacrifices, all those things designated. Because it was the whole. But see, the church is all over the world throughout all church history through unbelievable circumstances. So, it's just, you do these things, remember Him. It is our custom, and we pass the bread. Everyone hold your cup until everyone's been, or your bread, till everyone's been served. And then, we will take communion with Him in the communion service, in communion with each other. So, this in mind, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this one ritual that You've given to us to emphasize its meaning, its purpose, to let us remember how we entered the plan. It was by grace through faith. It was because of the sacrifice of Your love, the sacrifice of the love of Your Son, that we have this enjoyment. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Will you please stand? In the same way, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup after supper, after the Passover, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for our worship this morning, in song, in fellowship, in encouragement, in the Word. Pray you take the things we've seen in Psalm 31, let them become a solid foundation in our own soul to lead us in time when we hurt and trouble and fear could set in and all these things, just to dwell on this beautiful psalm as well as the Romans 5. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the communion service to remember how we're saved is how we're to live, by grace through faith. And now, Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to partake together, the fellowship we're about to enjoy, the communion with one another, and our supper and our eating together, Father. Just thank you for this wonderful day of worship. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome everyone to stay and enjoy some fellowship with us and food. Thank you.